Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, my name's Charlene Aldridge and I'm being interviewed by Chris Gordon, who manages Hellblazer Biz.
Everyone, I have the pleasure of the company of Charlene Aldridge today. So, hi, Charlene. Hello. Finally got there. I know we've been trying to arrange this for quite a while, I think. Going back a while.
Yeah, things just like get in the way, didn't they?
You've been filming your schedules and...
Children as well.
Children, yeah. And pets.
Pets as well. I've got two cats, so.
Yeah, so have I. We've got two cats and I've got an 11-year-old son, so yeah, I know exactly.
My daughter's 11, nearly 12, so I know you.
I say 11, he turned 12 yesterday, so he'll kill me, actually.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Izzy turns 12 next month.
So. All right, cool. Yeah. So they are about the same. It's a handful, I bet.
Yeah, no, she's easy. It's my son that's the handful. He's five. He's nearly five. And he runs rings around me. But, you know, it's just kids for you. It doesn't last forever, does it?
No. So. No, you've got to make the most of it while they're in that age.
Exactly, yeah.
Mine just sits on his games now. He's a lovely lad, but we just sit on his game thing now and it's like...
I know, it's just... computers, they're taking over the world.
They're
basically
sitting
our children.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
it's pretty scary as well, to be fair.
it is really. Shouldn't laugh, but you know.
Oh no, yeah. I keep thinking we're going to turn out, what's that film, which one is it, Wall-E?
Wall-E.
Yeah, they're all sitting, that's Wall-E. What we're going to turn, yeah. We're all going to end up sitting on those chairs. I mean, I'm already the size of one of those people on the chairs anyway. I'm desperately trying to go, so I'm taking all the people like your advice because you keep putting some great sort of motivational stuff about how you've done. So I keep looking at that as well and watching that and thinking, right, you can do it. I can do it. Let's do it.
She can. Anyone can do it when they put their mind to it. You know, it's you don't understand the power in a thought. Mm. You know, it's like, well, I remember like years ago, I was negative, I hated the world, I hated everything. Mm. And then one day, just something snapped in me. I thought, well, I'm thinking like this. That's why all this negative stuff's happening. Maybe if I change the way I think, then, you know, I'll get results and positive things out. And do you know what? It's true. And I will say it until I'm blue in the face, that there is so much power in a thought. So, yeah.
There is, definitely. I mean, as I say, my mum was due to a wrestling injury about 4 years back, and I couldn't do anything for 12 months. And then I got into a situation where it was just, you know, bad thoughts, so I couldn't put myself through it. And then I was in London last year, which is, it's a nice city, but it's a lonely city, isn't it? I was in a flat Monday to Friday, so I was, you know, with my family at weekends, going down on a Monday, Sunday night. Yeah. All week there, working in Croydon of all places, which is the most dire... Sorry, I know people are from Croydon. This is the most dire place on the planet.
I've never actually been to Croydon, to be fair, so I wouldn't know.
I was there for a year, and in the space of a year, there were five murders within half a mile of the Home Office where I worked. Because I was on the 18th floor, and all every day, I came back off lunch once. I shouldn't be talking, just random chattering. But I came back off lunch, and people were asking if I was all right. And I was like, why? And they said, because the jury's in hotel, which I walked past anyway to go to the shop. Mm. I'd walked past, and literally 10 minutes after I'd come back, I found out someone had been stabbed in the head. Literally, after I'd walked past there.
Oh.
And I was like,
oh. Good, is it? No. Oh, dear.
Yeah, so yeah, well, lovely part of the world. Oh. But yeah, it's one of those, you get bad mindset, don't you? I was just slagged off Croydon. I was on a show the other night and I think I've pretty much insulted quite a few people when it comes to with my accents that I was doing.
Oh, never mind. It's
all right. Yeah, I'll go for the rest of the world soon. I will take on world domination. No, I'm not like that. So. Except for Croydon. As you know, I've got questions for you, which we're going to talk through. Well, I say questions, I've kind of just written headlines, which I'll talk topics around, and hopefully we can get something out of that.
I might
talk for 15 minutes and realise there might be a question in there somewhere that you might actually that might be of any relevance for you to answer.
That's fine.
Excellent. So kind of what inspired you, or what were your inspirations to become an actress?
Right, well, I was 4 years old and I played the Angel Gabriel in my nativity play.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ever since then when I see, like, you know, all, like, the mums and dads there and, like, all the kids in my school. So that's a ice cream van, late night ice cream van.
Nice.
So seeing all the kids in school and that and just performing in front of them, it was so exhilarating, even at that age.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I just became obsessed with film, you know, like watching people on the TV and sitting there thinking, I want to do that. How can I do that? You know, and it's just been like that ever since. Sorry, my son's just opened my door. So just ever since then, it's just been a passion that I've always wanted to follow. So, you know, yeah. So that was my drive for it. And I've just been doing it ever since. I shut the door on it for a few years when I had my children.
Yeah.
But after, now my children are growing up and stuff, it's just like I can't really shut the door on it anymore. I couldn't ever. It's always been there. So mm-hmm. I've got thespian blood, as you would say. So I've just been doing it ever since now, properly, for the last 5 years. So, and it's only in the last 2 years that I've actually kind of been progressing.
Yeah.
Which is great. So, yeah.
That is fantastic. And you were saying shut the door figuratively there, and that you can't shut the door figuratively because you can't, because they've just opened there.
Yeah.
It kind of fit perfectly there.
I know. My son always shows up in their moments. He's not happy at doing that.
Excellent. I mean, I know where you're coming from. I mean, that's probably why I've come back to what I do now. At the age I am, because like, when I was in school, I loved drama, I loved theatre, I was always in the musicals. Yeah. Drake the Butler, which is probably the only time in my life I got wolf whistled.
I never wasn't in a position to go to drama school when I was younger, you know, because obviously my mum and dad divorced and my mum's a single parent. She couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So what I did is at the age of 12, I took on a paper round and I'd done it every morning just to save up so I could go to a workshop where I learned obviously like the basics and gain confidence.
Yeah.
Into the arts and stuff. And I took on parts in every single school production going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so in a way, you could say I was winging it. Really, yeah. I'm winging it through this industry, but you know, it's just always been there, and I've never ever given up on it, and I don't ever want to give up on it, and I will never give up on it.
That's good to hear, and it is. I mean, I'm not going to knock drama schools out. As I said, mine was at school as well. I went through high school. I didn't do any of that. And I joined a little little drama club when I was about 11. It's probably very similar to you. That was down in Watford, actually, because that's where I live, or I used to live, and was born. Yeah. And it was at the Palace Theatre.
Okay.
That was one of my favourite funny moments as well. So it's just come back to me as you were talking about that, because we did a Blue Peter special.
All right.
And it was the first time on film. And I was like, must have been about 11, 10 or 11. And they used to call me Bilbo. Because I had hair, and they said I had hairy feet. We did this Blue Peter thing, and it was my job to say, to do the here's one we made earlier.
I get called the Cockney Hobbit, so don't worry about it. I'm really short, I'm literally just on the cusp of 5 foot,
right?
And quite feisty as well, so Cockney Hobbit,
Right, that's going to get put down. I'll write that down now, because I'm going to introduce you as the Cockney Hobbit.
Cockney Hobbit, there you go. See, it don't take long to catch on.
New hashtag coming for your way, Charlene. Mm.
The Cockney Hobbit.
Yeah,
that's it.
I like that. That's cool. What kind of, were there any actors or actresses that you sort of, who are your favourite ones at the moment?
Meryl Streep, she inspired me from a young age. I remember her telling a story, like when she auditioned for King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
They told her she was ugly and that she wouldn't like sort of get anywhere through the industry and that. Then now look, you know, she's, and her versatility in every character that she portrays is just amazing. She does it flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can be in the same kind of category as her, because I class myself as versatile.
Mm-hmm.
You give me a part, I'll study it, I'll really get lost in the character, and then I'll bring that to the table. And that's exactly what she does. So, yeah, so she's a big inspiration to me.
Cool, fantastic. She's very versatile. I mean, I've got to say, she made me laugh the other day. I think there's a tweet coming out. I can't remember if it's an old tweet or not, but her dressed as Trump. Have you seen that one? Meryl Streep as Trump wins the internet. She's just perfect.
Let's not go on down the politics road, Jesus.
No, that's the only bit that's going in there, because otherwise you'll be hanging up on me in about 5 hours' time. Because I'll just be ranting.
Oh, don't.
I've actually got another show which I'm going to do, which is going to be a spoofy type show, and I thought of it the other day with someone talking, because I do my little impressions and jokes and stuff like that, and one of them, I'm not going to say it on here, but one of them came out and it was just like, I've got to do a show of that, because it's, and then just like, you know, just...
Is it, you know, whatever inspires you, do it, you know, everyone gets inspired by a lot of things and then they end up being successful because of it, so always go with your gut.
Oh yeah, I did say to this person, I said, if that turns out, if I did that and that suddenly went viral and started getting me, you know, getting successful on the internet and stuff like that, I'll be really pissed off. I said, because after 3.5 years working on this show and doing, you know, working really hard to speak to the lovely people like you, and it's going steady, and then I'll do something stupid and it just go, you know. But that's what I see on YouTube. I mean, there's a lot of decent things out there on, I think, and that's great for the independent circuit as well, for the, what we're doing now, and films like the one that you've, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
You know, which I have seen. as well as, you know, and yeah, you've got Netflix, you've got Amazon, and YouTube itself to put. Oh, sorry, I've moved my hands a lot, I don't know why.
That's fine.
It's like I'm a magician. On a rave, yeah. So, you know, they've got loads of outlets there, which I really think helps independent people. But I think it's just very difficult to get seen on places like, they've got stupid algorithms. I just dropped my head because I say my 12-year-old son. He sits and watches his YouTube videos of these people just playing a game or something like that, and I'm like, why? So that's not, you know, I am going to knock them. I'm going to say I'm not going to knock them, but I do. I mean, that's not talent to me. There's people like yourself. There's other people who need to be seen and get stuff out there, and they do get seen, and you do get very, you know, you're recognised and seen. But I think that needs to be shown more, and algorithms and stuff need to show. I don't know where I'm going with. You know what I mean? They need to, you know, there is a platform out there, and that's what needs to be seen, and more of that, more independent, and focus on that rather than reality stuff.
The best people to work with are the people that are just as passionate as you when it comes to film, like filmmakers, producers, directors. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've worked with Fabrication Images and Bulldog Films, and they're Danny Cotton and Matt Long. And do you know what? I can't fault them with, they're passionate, they're dedicated, they do everything properly by the book, you know, and they need the recognition as well. They are the teams that need the recognition, definitely, because they are so good at what they do, and it gets overlooked, and it's a shame really, because people are just missing out on what could be a perfect product. And that's what I'm saying, you need to be around a circle that are just as passionate about it as you are. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, definitely. Yeah. I mean, when I started doing this, I'm not just saying this is all about me, by the way. I just keep saying, about me. No. I got introduced last year to the independent world a bit more, because obviously, I mean, I've supported independent since I started doing this. I mean, I actually did this on a show which got cancelled, and then I moved on talking to independent artists, and which got me inspired because, like you just said, the passion that everyone has together. And last year I got invited to Paul and Diane Knight's premiere, Landscape of Lies, last year, because I've spoken to him on my show, and I got down there and people then started, as soon as I walked in, it was a family atmosphere, and people knew who I was, because they'd heard the interview, and they were just like, Chris, we know who you are, come on. And they just made, because it's a passion that I have, like you say, I just felt.
That's what I'm saying. You radiate passionate. You radiate it.
Yeah.
You radiate it when you're passionate, and that you can pick up on that.
Exactly. So, exactly.
You know.
I mean, I hosted one last for Patrick Ryder. I hosted his a few months ago now.
I love me, Pat.
He's brilliant. He's a great guy, isn't he? And I hosted his down in Mile End for the code and stuff like that. And again, it was the passion. I was so nervous, but the passion of everybody in there, because they didn't care, because they were all there for one thing, the same thing that I was there for, and that was the love of film and the love of independent film and shorts and stuff, and to promote each other and help. And it's just that it just boomed, and it's a feeling of feeling home. You belong, and I think that's something you really does have in an independent world compared to. I mean, you get the big Hollywood blockbusters, which I'm sure everyone would want to be in. Yeah,
because yeah, well, that's the dream.
That's the dream, is to get there. But yeah. I don't think, in a way, that that's, they're the same as an independent film, because the huge budgets, you get snippets of bits coming onto set for different parts of it. You don't get that bond as much as you do in an independent film. I'd love to find out one day.
I mean, with some big budget films, like, you know, Hollywood, if we're talking about, you do notice, though, even with, it's the same with the indie industry as well, you do get them circles that, that work together all the time, like Rob Schneider and Adam Sandler, always working together.
Yeah.
You know, and who's the other ones? I can't think of the top of my head now, but... Yeah, like, you know, like Vin Diesel and
the Fast and Furious guys,
and stuff. You know, they all become family. You know, family. So, and that's, I think once you become family, that's when you get the best out of your film.
Yeah,
because everyone's all working together as a team, and that's just that's the most amazing thing about it. Really, and that's one of the things I love about this industry.
It is fantastic. It's not just film. I mean, I'll give two TV shows as an example, which come on, like Lucifer and SEAL Team at the moment. They're on TV at the moment. Both the two of my favourite shows, but the bond that those guys have, because they're always doing behind the scenes shots where they're just joking around. They go out for meals together, they meet up together, and you know, and the SEAL Team guys are just the same, and they just have such. Look, proper family, and they work together, and they build the relationships.
Yeah, and all that creates the magic on the set. So it does, you don't want to, if you get the 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of Grey, for instance, that's why that took so long, because those characters, you know, Mr. Grey, or whatever his name is, and Anastasia, they hated each other in real life.
Yeah, I heard that.
not a lot of people know that.
I did hear that.
They hated each other. But they worked well together, and it's quite rare that you get that. But you see, it took quite a long time for it to come out. So, do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Because that chemistry is not there. You know,
exactly.
You've got to have that chemistry going on and on screen with people.
You can't do anything without chemistry. You know, you can't create the magic. And, if there's no chemistry, then there's no film in my eyes. You know
exactly.
I mean?
There have been some big films out there where it's been noticeable that people don't get on, and it's
I've noticed it.
Cool. Who would you love to work with as a director?
Pardon?
Who would you love to work with as a director?
As a director, Tim Burton, all day long. The Weird and Wonderful. I want to do Weird and Wonderful. You know, like, I mean, he works a lot with Helena Bonham Carter. She's fantastic. She is. Every character that he gives her, she portrays really, really well. Fantastic. And I'd love to be able to portray a Weird and Wonderful character as well, you know, explore that side of my craft.
Fair enough.
I absolutely love it.
Cool.
Tim Burton.
I'm not going to knock you on him, because I think he's brilliant. He really is.
He's amazing.
He's got a fantastic
absolutely
vision.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, his some of his later ones, I'm like, a little bit. But even if I'm like, it's not going to knock the creativity behind him, because the vision of someone like that to be able to think outside the box, and constantly outside the box, you know.
Exactly. And you know, it's just his mind just expands, like, you know, to places where you wouldn't even think of, and he puts that in so beautifully in his film, and it's just amazing. I would love to work with him.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. I was just actually reading a tweet just tonight, still talking about Beetlejuice.
Yeah,
the Beetlejuice scene where they get up and do the dance, you know. That bit there has been one of the most.
That's
been one of the most iconic scenes of any 1980s film, and it stands the test of time. And that's true. And that's part of the vision that he has. It's just he manages to get and make stuff that will last throughout time, and it's timeless.
Exactly.
Because there's nothing.
You just don't get bored of it either.
No.
There's not been one Tim Burton film that I've ever watched the beginning and thought, "Oh, this is boring." Never. Yeah. I've been captivated from the start, and that's what I'm saying, he's a genius in that way. He knows how to captivate his audience.
Oh, so. Even in animations, like in A Nightmare Before Christmas. What's this? What's this?
Brilliant.
It's powder in the air.
it's brilliant.
I'm no singer.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's a good guy, and I'd love to work with him. Hopefully, if you're listening, Tim Burton, it's actress here. Joke. know you have to work hard for it, so yeah, I will.
Well, you are. I mean, that's a good thing, and that's what you just explained that already, how much, yeah, how hard you are working. And I think a lot of people see stuff. And again, I'll go on my soapbox. I won't stay on my soapbox. I'm just going to mention, like, reality TV shows and stuff wind me up chronically because it gives a false impression that people can just go onto something and whoomph, they get famous like that. And
well,
it's like,
if
that's
the
not
case, then everyone would be doing it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You're out, yeah, of work more than you're in work, for a start.
Yep.
So that's what I'm saying. It ain't for everyone.
No.
You've got to be passionate and you've got to want it so much.
Yeah.
Like myself, you know, you've got to want it so much that money don't even come into your head with it. You know, and when you do start making money, yeah, obviously it's a bonus, it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But as a thespian or a creative artist, as they call it, it's just in you. You know, you can't let it go. You have to, you just got to keep fighting.
Exactly, and, exactly. I think it was, yeah, something like 90% of actors are unemployed at any one time, you know, because, yeah, of it. And it's, and it sounds horrible like that, but it's not, it's the true, yeah, it's the harsh reality. I mean, and it's not just because you're not going to do any work then, because you've got all the auditions that you go to,
yeah,
you're preparing yourself for self-tapes, you're doing,
yeah,
you know, you're going out and pushing yourself even more and more. And even if you don't get the, then you still worked at it, you've that's another bit of that's how I see it anyway. I mean, I'd do that if,
yeah,
I, for job interviews, if I don't get the job, I just, right, it's experience, next one I'll do two, you know. And it's how you, it, and I think a lot of people, like you just said, people who've in it just for the 5 minutes of fame, to get famous like that, they'll not last, because,
no,
as soon as they get that first, well, maybe not the first rejection, maybe after three or four, because you can get, yeah, a lot of rejections. I do on this show, I mean, you know, for every 100 emails I send, I'll get a great guest,
yeah,
like you, which is one,
yeah,
person out of 100, where the others are just like, you know, politely saying F off, or they just don't respond. It's like, you know, Sir Ian McKellen would rather not appear on my show, with the exact words I got from his publicist. That was as if I'm going to get Ian McKellen on here. But, you know, but, you know, I mean, there's things like that, and the rejection, and if you don't have that passion to push forward, then that,
yeah,
you know, the people...
Rejection is a part of learning, though. You know, if
it
you
is.
Get rejected, you've just got to stop and think, right, what can I do,
mm-hmm,
better to basically, you know, make them, you know, actually sit up and look and think, oh, actually, she might have something. You know, it's,
yeah,
all about progressing. It's all about learning. It's all about working on your craft and even your attitude as well. Attitude is a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you go in there like, you know, all right, I'm here for the part. No one's going to want to look at you. They're going to be like, get up, you know.
Yeah.
Don't want to work with you. You know, you've got to show people that you've got something that you're bringing to the table,
mm-hmm,
you know, and that you want, and that, you know, you want it, you want to work for it, and you will do everything you can to basically win that part, you know,
yeah,
win that part to show that you can play that better than anybody else,
mm-hmm,
you know. And I know that might be a bit of, it's, well, say arrogant, it's not arrogance, it's you're all fighting for it. You're all climbing the same mountain,
yeah,
at the end of the day. Some are just further up than others.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, mm-hmm, so it's exactly the same.
It is, yeah. And, I mean, I gave up my acting when I was 18, when I finished school, mm-hmm, due to the fact that it was steered in a different direction due to it being a very unstable environment. And you need to get yourself a proper job. I went for that. I'm not going to knock my parents because they're the best interest, so it's, you know, it's not that at all.
Yeah.
But that's the path I chose. But I think it's very similar to a job interview for me, because a job interview,
yeah,
if I go further, it's exactly the same. I'm there to beat,
yeah,
everyone else, and it's not. You have to have that certain. It's a bit of self assurance rather than arrogance,
yes,
because you've got.
Yeah.
You have to know that you are the best. You know, beat everybody,
yeah,
else.
Yeah, you've got to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in you, then how can anyone else believe in you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So you've really got to believe in yourself, and like, and I mean really believe it, not just like say, yeah, I believe in myself. You've really got to feel it and
think it
all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
definitely.
So I will preach my positive thinking and stuff until I'm blue in the face. It works.
It does.
It
no,
does.
No, it's good. And
yeah,
you're right, because you go in there, you know, it's whatever your mood, your feeling, however how you feel, you can project,
mm-hmm,
that on others. So if you go in there with a big smile on your face, I mean, I got told last week, I was in me again.
It's fine.
I had a job interview at work, the for permanent job. I didn't get it. I didn't have the experience,
yeah,
that someone else had, which was fair enough. I knew that before I went in. But I said that to the lady who'd been interviewing me. She goes, "You're not really disappointed." I was like, first of all, I said, "Yeah, I'm actually devastated." I said, "I went home and cried all night." And I said, "It was your fault." And she was like, oh. I said, "No, I'm so I just laughed. I said, no, I'm seriously. I said, you know, things happen, blah, blah, blah.
You can't
laugh,
you cry.
Exactly. And then I turned around and I can't remember what she said. What she said? Oh, yeah, she found about my age. And she said, "My God, I thought you were like 10 years younger than what you said." I was like, "Really?" I said, "It must be the way I smile." And she goes, "Yeah." She goes, "That's one of the most endearing things about you." She goes, "You always smile and you always portray a happy, confident personality." And I was like, "And that, you know, it was I thought that was amazing." Because where I was previously in London, I wasn't...
puts everybody at ease. Do you know what I mean?
It does. Smile
always puts everyone at ease. If you go in there with a proper face on and start, you're radiating your attitude,
yeah.
You know, and like people are going to think, like, "Well, nah, I'm not sure about her," you know, or sure about him. So you always smile, whatever's going on in there, just always smile.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Cheshire cat all the time. Well, not all the time. My family can testify that that's not the case. Oh gosh. Right, okay, so Daniel Brooks on this sort of topic is, what's your ultimate goal?
Hi, Daniel. Sorry.
It's all right. Say hello, yes. What's your ultimate goal?
My ultimate goal.
Yeah.
My ultimate goal, obviously,
to be Meryl Streep.
Live the way I am, just chasing them goals. I wanna do this all the time. You know, I want this part of my everyday life, which mm-hmm. is anyway, and you know, yeah, I would be lying if I said I wouldn't want to hit the blockbuster films, you know, because I do.
Yeah,
you
know, that's
big projects and stuff. You can just expand your craft and everything.
Oh
you
yeah.
Know? So yeah, of course, that's the goal. But that don't mean to say that, you know, obviously I just want to be famous, because fame ain't. Do you know what? It's a side effect mm-hmm. that comes with it if you do well.
Yeah.
I couldn't really give a stuff about the fame. You know, I just want to do this every day, and that's my goal. That's like, you know, just chasing the dream positively and staying focused, and then I'll get there. So yeah, so that's my goal. Getting the big films. So, you know.
And I've talked to you. You're about the 153rd person I've talked to on my show. And that is the exact attitude I've heard from everyone. And it's a great attitude to hear, is the fact that you're not in it for the fame. Yeah. And the words of advice, and there are people who've been on my show, you know, the various levels of their, whether independent or whether I've been lucky enough to get someone who's been lucky to get on a network, you know, in a US show and stuff, and it's always the same thing. It's like they're not in it for the fame, they're in it because of the passion that they have. And the people who do go in it for the fame, like we've just been talking about, and like I was ranting on about reality stars, you know, they just go and fall off, you know, and fall at the sidelines because they want the big things, they want the big fame. Fame can be nasty if you haven't worked for it.
Oh, yeah, of course, so much so. And I mean, like, you know, not being funny, no disrespect to any of you, the men out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this industry, it is quite male-dominated.
Yeah.
You know.
Not going to disagree with you.
And so the fit, and we've got women, some women, right, that haven't sort of, you know, done their research or anything, they'll give up their arse in the name of a part, you know. Sorry to be blunt, but that's exactly how it is, right? They'll give up their ass in the name of a part. And the thing is, it's just, that's a bad, bad move straight away. Because, yeah, you might get famous really quickly, or you might get well known, but that's all you're going to be known for.
Yeah.
The thing is, you've got to keep work. Don't ever do that. Keep working, like, and keep building on yourself, your own mentality, your own craft, and then it will last longer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear. I mean, you know, the women in film thing is, you're right, it's very male dominated. It's getting changing.
It's slowly. Slightly, yeah.
Slowly. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more female roles out there, which are fantastic. You know, there's some of these shows
which I hope to create as well. I'm trying to create some more, like, sort of female. Not that I'm a feminist, because I'm not at all, you know, because that will just be like having a film with just women and no men. You know, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
No, but, you know. It'll be just nice, obviously, with having a team of women sort of like directing, mm-hmm. or, you know, with the cinematography, and, you know, and like getting really strong female characters that are, you know, being portrayed,
yeah.
and stuff. And they're leading the film instead of like the guys. And as I say, it sounds really horrible when I say it like that. I don't mean it in any way, a horrible way to, mm-hmm. to the men out there. But
captioned.
Yeah, the girls are starting to step up now, and it's good. You know.
Yeah, no, it is good. I mean, in the role they are, they're, like you say, I think there's a lot more. I think it should be more. There's a lot more space for female writers to come in.
Course,
I
still,
definitely, and female, yeah, as well as actresses, you know, all across the board. But there are strong. I mean, you know, one of the I've seen the film recently, and it's obviously getting pressed for the bad reasons because of Darwinism at its best has managed to encapsulate the people from this. You know what? I can't even remember the name of the film now. Oh, what's it? Sandra Bullock. You
Sandra
know.
Bullock. Oh, Bird Box.
Yeah, that one. Couldn't remember. Yeah, you know, I was going to say Blind Fox, haven't you?
I haven't watched it yet.
But she's a really strong female lead in it. And obviously, you know, most of the time she goes through and she takes the film. And it's great to see that because even a few years ago, you wouldn't have a woman in that sort of role. And,
yeah.
Which is totally wrong. But it's learning and we're getting there. I think.
that's what I'm saying with the times. As time goes on, things change, you know. Yeah. And I'm happy about that change.
Yeah.
About women, like, you know, taking more of a role into the film industry. You know, not as in like on camera. I mean, like a role as in behind the camera, and you know, not feeling like that she can't say nothing because it's male dominated. You know? And as I say, it's making me sound really horrible saying that, and I don't mean it like that because there are the men out there that, you know, the actors and the filmmakers alike are fucking really good at what they do.
Yeah.
They really are. But, you know, it's, time's changing now. Give the girls a chance.
Exactly. I mean, us, and again, on the show, I've had quite a lot of, you know, talking to a lot of female filmmakers as well as actresses. Yeah. And it is great to see and hear the passion through there. I mean, it's like, you've got Katrina Grey, Nadia Jordan, For the Love of George. That's a female-led one, you might like to know, as well. Yeah. That she's driven that, and that's, you know, she's coming on again in a couple of weeks' time to talk about that. Because it's a great time to be in as well, because you're in like a renaissance of film and a renaissance of the industry, in that it is waking up to the fact that it needs more women, it needs more people of colour to start taking those roles and realising that, they are talented people out there. Why have we not been letting them reach the heights that they want to reach to?
Just at one thing, you know. Let them, let them explore other sides.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like the guys do.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and that's starting to happen now. And as I said, it's brilliant. You know, and I hope to do that as well. Like, you know, I want to play stuff like from the rough council estate mum up until the really posh mum. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the really posh woman that, I don't know, has got lots of money or something, you know, just something like that. So I want to just go from one scale to the other.
Exactly.
and just explore everything. Yeah. And I will. And when I do, I get really lost into a character as well. You know, I start thinking of a backstory. It's mad, really. I start thinking of a backstory of the character, and then I think, right, well, how did that make her feel, and how does that, like, you know, come into her how she is now in the scripts, you know. And then I think of all that, and then I put my own spin on it, and then sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. If it don't, you just work harder on it.
Yeah. See, so, that's perfect. Yeah. That's a very common question people send in for me, for people, is if they've had, like, even if they've had like a part role in a film, in a show, or anything like that, is what was the backstory? Did you make up a backstory? That's a very common thing, and a lot of people just sit there and go, no.
There's more to it than just reeling off, remembering and reeling off dialogue.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A lot of people can do that.
Yeah, a lot of people have answered positively to that and said, but there have been some where it's just like, no, not really. It's just getting on. And they work out what's happening around them and where it's come from, but not a full in-depth backstory as such.
Exactly.
But I think it is good, because even if you're on it for like, what, 2-3 minutes, there's still a reason why you're on it, and there's still a reason why your character is behaving that way.
Exactly. It's all about putting the effort in.
Yeah, it is.
Putting the effort in.
And moving on from putting the effort in, Ryan Scheel, he says, you're always on the move. I'm taking it, these are all friends of yours as well, because he said, you're always on the move, making a great success and getting amazing results. What drives you every day from the moment you're working? What is it that pushes you to get weird? Well, we've kind of gone over it as well, but I thought I'd focus it in one question.
Well, what pushes me, as I said, it's just that positive thinking. You know, I've, as years ago, I used to be really, really negative. I honestly was a complete opposite to what I am now. I was, you know, I was quite, how do I put it? I even ate wrong, yeah. You know, and like I looked at people, I judged people. I was a horrible cow, you know, I was. Yeah. I will be honest, I was horrible. I hated the world, but I had reasons for that.
Right.
You know, but I think having children,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that changes your way of thinking as well. And then I just woke up one day and thought, I can't live like this no more.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to change this. So I did, and I started thinking positively, and I started researching law of attraction and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it, do you know what? It has changed my life dramatically.
Yeah.
And I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm positive. Even if something negative happens, I think of something positive that follows it. You know, that's how I think. Yeah. I can't think like, even if I wanted to think negatively now, I can't. It's like, it's become a habit, and that's what it is. The power and the thought. Make it your habit. Make it your daily life's habit. And mm-hmm. then you see everything change. And yeah, as just answering his question as well, what drives me are my children and living a good life. You know, yeah. I'm not talking materialistic or anything. I'm talking about mentally,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, yeah, I did have depression, and I do still have a little bit about of anxiety, but that's slowly just going now because of the way I think.
Yeah.
So,
and you do. It's a really good way to, it's a great thing to put across, and positivity. And I think a lot of a lot of that, it does get lost in today's society because there are, you know, yeah. I'm not going to touch on it, don't worry, but there is so much negative crap.
Yeah,
and people,
there is.
I mean, I you know, I hold my hand up. I've been drawn into it before, but then immediately, usually I'll just pull myself straight back out. And it's like, no, what's that? Seriously, why do I need to bother commenting, or why do I need to put yeah. something? Why,
if you see just something like that, like with me, if I see something like that, I look at it, I acknowledge it, I accept it, but then I move on.
Exactly.
Simple as that. I won't put time on it though.
Yeah.
All I'll do is acknowledge it and accept it, and then I'll just move on.
Yeah. You know? That's kind of what I'm trying to do at the moment, especially on Facebook, because yeah. I'm full of
crap. Anyone can do it, and if they put their mind to it. It's mind over matter.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. You know? And that's how, and you're right, because you can influence how others feel about you, about themselves as well, just by being positive and exuding that positivity.
Yeah.
And it is great. I mean, I'm trying to go back. My dad used to be a minister. He passed away 10 years ago, but if I had the ounce of integrity he has from that, because I always saw him as that kind of a person, he would push that yeah. positivity out, and the amount of people who were influenced by him, you know, across was amazing. And it was purely yeah. because of that positive mental thinking of how to, you know, pushing it out. And
yeah.
It definitely works.
Like, the way I see, like, even going back to how I used to be as well, like, you know, you're thinking negatively, it starts coming out in your body. You don't want to do anything. You procrastinate, and you're just a shell of yourself. And then when you flip your thoughts around, you want to start eating better. You want to start taking care of yourself. You want to start going to the gym. You want more out of life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I'm saying. It's I can't stress it enough. Everybody needs to live like that, because it will change your life, and mm-hmm. it'll probably change the world as well.
It will do as well. I think that's much yeah. more. That's what's needed. There's too much negativity. Too many people thinking that way, and too many people with hate in their hearts. And that's not how it should
yeah.
be. It should be the total opposite. And go out.
They're
there.
They're relying on another source. That's yeah. why you can't rely on anybody. You have to rely on yourself.
Yeah,
that's the first protocol.
Yeah,
you have to rely on yourself and nobody else. You have to get yourself out of that pit. You have to get yourself out of that depressive mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get yourself out of, well, yeah, everything bad, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then change it. That's yeah. what you got to do. And you will see the results. I'm proof. As I say, I'm proof of it.
Exactly. I mean, there is actually a song from 30-odd years ago which I love, and I love listening to when I'm feeling, and it is, it's, I mean, Michael Jackson said it perfectly, The Man in the Mirror. I want to yeah. make a change. It goes once in my life. What do? You look at you look in the mirror. That's where you yeah. make the change. That's where that change yeah. happens. You want to make yeah. the world better? Look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Start with yeah. that.
And self-care as well. People can't differentiate vanity to self-love as well. So, and let me explain this. Vanity, obviously, is just caring about your looks and what other people think of you and, you know, what you want to portray to the world and stuff. Whereas mm-hmm. self-love is not caring about what other people think. You care about how you think, how you feel. And if you feel good about putting some lipstick on and straightening your hair in the morning and then flicking it around, then you go for it. That's up to you. But that's what people can't differentiate. And I've had it myself where I've had people go, oh, you're just vain. You know, you just want to be famous and all that. And it's like the whole ignorance of it, it does frustrate me. But you've just got to accept that some people will say that about you. You've just got to prove them wrong, really.
Exactly, exactly.
They don't understand it. People don't understand it very well, so...
Exactly. Well, yeah. No. I understand totally. I mean, if you've seen the pictures of me on Facebook, you know that I'm not vain.
No, I'm not.
Like, but I know. That's like I've got the same. I'm where I am. I mean, yeah. I've long past caring about that. But okay, a little bit still does. But as far as I'm concerned, it's the smile, my smile, my personality. That's what wins people over. How I'm feeling in myself.
If you're happy, then that's all that matters. Mate.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? As long as you are happy.
Yeah. Which is why, you know, it's like sometimes what I say when the show doesn't do so well, it's like going and maybe not many people listening and stuff like that. Oh, and I have actually turned around on Twitter and I've said a couple of times, you know what, stuff it. If you lot don't want to listen, what makes me happy is talking to people like you. And getting that, and if zero people listen to it, who gives a toss? I've had a great hour. I've probably wasted an hour of your time because if no one's listening.
I'm not in conversation.
That's what I mean. No, it's like theoretically. That's if no one did, then that would be the case. It would still be that. It'd be a good. You know, it is. It's about making yourself happy, making sure that you're happy, and that those you love, like your family and your kids and stuff, are also happy, and they grow up feeling the same, growing up in that same
zone. I push that on my children. My daughter has adopted the positive, like, living and stuff. She even has shirts like "Believe to Achieve" and all that sort of stuff. And she goes as well. And she even says, she goes, "I'm always smiling at school." She goes, and it makes people feel at ease.
Mm.
You know? And I said, and that's what you've got to do. I said, if you can't be the sunshine, be the mirror that reflects it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I like to tell her. And she's adopted that. And she's just the sweetest child ever. And I want her to grow up still having that mindset. Because I never had that at that age. And the amount of things that she's done in school as well, like, you know, the teachers tell me how, like, well she's doing and how helpful she is and stuff like that. That's just creating her success in the future. So, you know, I couldn't be happier.
Definitely. That's how
I say radicalised her. I wouldn't say it like that, but you know, I've pushed it on her. I'm proud of her.
No, that's how it should be. Same with my little lad. So we pushed him with the values of that, giving, sharing, caring. I mean, it's been times. I mean, heartwarming times. I mean, when we've been really skint. And all of a sudden, I've asked, you know, and he come down with his pocket money, and he'll go, "Here, you can lend my phone because I've got some pocket money I've saved. You can have that."
Yeah.
I was like, and I was like, you know. It's because he was trying to keep things happy and smiley. It's great. It's a great feeling. Mohammed Khan or Mohammed Haha Khan.
Hi, Mohammed.
as his name was. What would your superpower be? I've got a feeling I know exactly what that would be.
Well, what do you reckon it would be?
Exude your positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be the zap positivity.
Like Superman with his red eyes. Positivity everywhere. Yeah, that would probably be my superpower, just making everybody smile.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. Cool. And what would your theme song be?
My theme song?
Yeah, it's a weird one, this.
Oh, God, I don't know. I suppose Walking on Sunshine, you know that song. Mm-hmm. I'm walking on sunshine, that one.
Yeah.
That's my theme song.
Katrina and the Waves.
Yeah. I can't remember the singer of it, but I just remember my mum playing it when I was younger and her just dancing around the kitchen and stuff. And she was like at her happiest when she had her music on and that. So, and I just remember that song just sort of sticks out because like she was just dancing around and she was so happy. She radiated it. I'd pick that as my theme song.
nice, good song as well.
Yeah.
Cool, so moving on to actually promote the show and the first thing that you've done, it's 45 minutes to get to where to the actual promotion for you.
That's fine. Great 45 minutes.
Broken Promises. Now, this is a short film that's come out, obviously. I mean, it's you know, it's fantastic for starters.
Thank you very much.
It was really well done, because obviously in a short you've got to get a lot of information and a lot of feeling into that tiny amount of space to get across what people sometimes put in an hour and a half, you know. And it did, to me, it worked perfectly, because you got that balance right. You knew exactly what had happened, because it was the one you wrote, you produced it, and you acted in it as well.
Yeah.
And everything was great. I mean, I saw, and you recognise Ray Whelan in there. I met him last year at Patrick's, and he's a cracking
bloke. He's amazing. He's brilliant. He is absolutely brilliant.
And Matt, obviously, as well, isn't it?
Yeah. we've also got my best friend in it, who played the midwife, Claire Guy, and it's actually her birthday today. Happy birthday!
happy birthday.
And also the
belated one by the time this comes out.
obviously the son is actually Claire's son in real life.
Oh, right, cool.
Who also wants to be an actor, and this is his first ever experience on camera.
Really? To be fair, you wouldn't have thought that, because he was really good.
Excellent. I mean, he was the Mad Hatter in one of his school plays, and that was what made me want him in my film.
Yeah.
Because I saw his performance in that, and I was like, "Wow, this kid has got something."
Yeah.
You know, and he really has. And I hope that this short, as well as obviously showcasing, like, you know, my skills, it showcases his skills too. So it's not just all about me; it's about Ryan as well.
Yeah.
You know. So, about all of us as a team, really, all of us that made it. You know, Danny Cotton directed, Matt Long produced, and obviously starred in it as well. And you've got Adam Sturman, who's a cinematographer on it. And I've also worked with him on a couple of things as well, at Shift. No More Lights in the Sky as well with Danny Cotton. So, we've worked together before. So this, as we called it, the A team, the dream team, you know, all of us coming together, everybody like passionate about, you know, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what made the film the way it is. All of us working together as a team and having that result. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just brilliant. You know, and I'm really, really glad that people have actually took the time to watch it and they like it.
Yeah, no, well, it's a good. The story's there. It's a quite poignant story, because it's quite fresh in a lot of people's minds, because this has obviously happened quite a lot to a lot of families.
Yeah.
And you know, recently with all the wars that they get sent to and everything like that, so it is a very. Yeah. Very poignant. I'm not going to spoil it for people. there's part of it, and I keep saying, no, don't say that, don't spoil it.
That's alright, don't worry.
How did you come up with the idea?
I was sitting there and I was watching some YouTube videos, and it was obviously about soldiers coming home, right, surprising their loved ones and they're coming home. And then it just went from there. I just had my pen and my paper, and I was just writing down, some ideas and that. And I was thinking, instead of it being like that, maybe do it with a twist, you know, like being reunited with someone, but with a twist. And then a lot of people probably won't get this, and I will give this away, but I'm an American woman in it. Mm-hmm. Hannah is an American woman, and Harvey is Irish. So, and they both come to England, separately, you know, they're both foreigners in the English lands, you know, they have nobody, they have no one around, like, you know, for them and that, but until they meet, they then have each other. For then that to be just ripped away, you know, and you're just stuck where you, like, you know, I'm not going to give that bit away, but you're stuck where, you know, so that's what I wanted, because that does happen. It can happen, and who's, you know, and as I've thought as well, why do I have to make them English? You know, why can't I just have one person from one place and one person from another place? Do you know what I mean?
So,
and that's what I did. Excellent. So that inspired me, just those little YouTube videos, and then it just all just came out after that. It was like, just came out in spurs, like bang after the other, like, I'll do that one. Yeah, I'll write that bit. That would sound good. Just, like that.
Cool. How long did it take to film?
It took about 2 weeks, I think. Yeah, so over two weekends we did it. So from Friday to Sunday 1 week, and then from Friday to Sunday the other week.
All right, excellent.
So we done it quite pretty quickly, but we spent a lot of time on it, though. Preparing for it, the read through, getting all the licenses and stuff sorted out. I mean, I had no clue about that. So this is just how much I did not know about this side, that side of the camera.
Yeah.
You know, and I've learned so much because of those guys, and I can't thank them enough. So I know now what to look out for when I'm going for parts.
Yeah.
You know, so see, you're always learning.
Yeah.
You're always learning. And as I say, writing as well, I've written a few things, but I wrote this and I showed Danny, and Danny was like, you've got to do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I did. I took that. I was brave and I took the plunge and I made the film. So,
and it's, yeah, it's paid off, yeah.
Yeah. I hope so. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. Well, it seems to be doing well. Haven't you been nominated again? You've been after a couple of nominations.
Yeah, official selection from Mindfield Film Festival. I can't say the word.
Albuquerque.
That's the one. Yeah, Albuquerque.
Yeah. I should have taken a left at Albuquerque. Do you remember? Oh, you're too young for that, Bugs Bunny. You don't remember the Bugs Bunny cartoon, didn't you?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, they'd gone out somewhere and they were flying all over. And then Bugs Bunny, they got lost, and Bugs Bunny was just like, I told you we should have taken the left at Albuquerque. That's how I've always remembered it. Not that that was Bugs Bunny's voice, that was a really poor...
Yeah, what's up,
Jack? Yeah, that's the one. I can do Kermit, Yoda, Swedish Chef, but not
all that. I'll do a
and
good
Donald.
Lois from Family Guy.
Oh, go on. I'll save that from the last question.
I'll
save
it.
That.
Right, ready? Oh, Peter. Just that.
That's perfect, perfect. I'll leave mine till the end because I've got a question for you at the end.
Okay.
Excellent. What am I looking at now? I've lost myself now. Yeah, so obviously Broken Promises is a great... It's out there now. People can look at it. People can watch it.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend people do. It's what? It's 14 minutes long, something like that? It's,
yeah.
If I remember right, yeah. So it's definitely worth the watch. It's emotional as well because, of you know, especially if... I'm very military-minded in that way anyway, so I've always... If I watch... I'm watching SEAL Team at the moment, for example, and there's been scenes where that kind of thing's happened and like Band of Brothers, I'll be floods of tears most of the way through.
Brilliant.
It's the most phenomenal war. Yeah. You probably love SEAL Team, to be fair, because it's obviously about modern Navy SEALs, but it's very, very family and stuff like that. But yeah, Band of Brothers, I was crying my eyes out. It was just absolutely phenomenal. And anything to do with that sort of military, the pride and stuff like that, it's like... Sorry, I just had a text pop up on my thing just saying I fed the rats. Most surreal thing I've ever seen. I just came in the corner then. I was like, okay, fine. yeah, so, you know, very surreal. And obviously, so watching Broken Promises, it's something that I always find emotional, watching that kind of a thing going through. And it's good. And it does. So there you go. That's kind of... Makes you smiling there now because you've seen that it's affected someone in that way, which is how you obviously wanted to portray
it.
That's
what I wanted it to do. Yeah, I wanted to create something different, you know, and something different, something that could happen and stuff as well. But that really sort of like captivates people. That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And so far, from the people that have watched it, they've said just that.
Mm-hmm.
And so. It's kind of like I feel like I've achieved something,
yeah.
And it's an amazing feeling. You know?
I can imagine, especially your first time, your first outing.
It's my first ever bit of writing. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, and people have like, you know, have been touched by it. It means the world. It really does.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it just makes me smile. I had no words.
Fantastic. Is there anything else that you're working on at the moment that we're coming up that you might come seeing out soon? I mean, you mentioned No More Lights in the Sky, which I know that's actually done really well, hasn't it? It's 8 awards that's won.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's done brilliant.
That's done really well.
Yeah, and obviously I've watched it myself, and me being in it as well.
Yeah.
It's, do you know what? It's very thought-provoking. Very thought-provoking.
Mm.
So, and it does captivate you, and it does make you think, as I said, it should do well. It's an amazing story.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah. And anything else that you got coming working on?
Right, well, I've just been cut. I've been cast in 2 films and a web series.
Excellent.
This year already, and it's not February. So that's good. One's called The Drugs Game, by Clark Tribe, and that's a really clever. Story, like, you know, it's not like your typical gangster sort of film. it's been cleverly, there's like a clever thing with it. You know, I can't really give too much away about it.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's good. And then I've been cast as a sheriff in Minds of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's written by Mohammed, who just asked me that question earlier. And then there's also a web series. I won't give too much away about it, but just imagine Sherlock Holmes, but with women.
Okay.
Right. But it's on my IMDb, actually. I'm playing Jane Watson. Really excited about
that. That's fantastic. I actually wrote a short story.
Yeah.
With a Jennifer Watson last year. And I started to write a short story about that with a female Watson and a male Sherlock, and obviously, but she was the brains behind it, and he was just like a token, because it was a male dominated era. So he was just the token male while she did all the work behind the scenes. So I started to write. I've actually got three chapters. I'd start writing three chapters.
That's good.
It went twitch. Yeah, so it's quite. Yeah, that'd be interesting to watch.
I can't wait to do that. As I say, I absolutely love the Sherlock Holmes story.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff, like Jack the Ripper, Sherlock Holmes, and that. I've always been a massive, massive fan of it. So this is like a dream come true. Like a part I've always wanted to play, but never thought I would because I'm female.
Yeah.
So now that it's obviously having that spin on it, it's I'm so excited. I'm so excited about it.
That'd be fantastic.
So we'll be filming that sort of, I think, April, May sort of time.
Yeah.
That's really good. So I'm really looking forward to it.
No, and I say we're not even out of January yet, and you've already had that three things there. So it's like it'll be hoping here, big year. I was going to say I was smirking then because you mentioned obviously about Mohammed's question and obviously your sheriff. So now all I pictured then was your sheriff's going to come on screen to "We're walking on sunshine." Sorry,
the old sheriff's badge and everything.
That's just what flashed through my mind as soon as I said it. I was like, no, don't say it. Brilliant. So it kind of draws me to the end, I'm afraid, Charlie, sadly, because it's been really fun. I've got one final question. It's a signature question. I give my explanation through it all. It's not 2 years ago now. I don't really say last year, but obviously we're now in 2019. I had a guy on who's basically, he was in Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, and he was also a puppeteer for Jim Henson for 30 years. He's had his hand up Kermit, Miss Piggy, and everything like that. And you knock the innuendo out of the way there. But he's worked in Labyrinth and stuff like that. Basically, someone sent a question in, and I thought it's such an excellent question. I have to ask everybody this, and I have tried to ask as many people as I like. Depends on how I get on with people, because sometimes if I think obviously they're not that type of person, I thought, right, okay, I'll avoid it. But we've had a laugh. So if you could have a Muppet created after you, what kind of Muppet would it be and why?
Oh, God. A Muppet. So does it have to...
Does it have to be one of them,
or does it have to be something that's made up?
It can be something that's made up. It can be one of the existing. You could have a mix of two or three.
I'd probably have a mix of Miss Piggy for her feistiness.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I don't know. God, what's that one with the hook nose? I can't remember his name.
Gonzo.
Yeah. I'd be a cross between them two. It's Gonzo. He's quite intelligent, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
So, is he intelligent? Is he an intelligent one?
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay, well, kind of. I'm not that intelligent, so I'm kind of intelligent. That's all right. I hit Gonzo mixed with Miss Piggy, definitely. So it'd be like Goniggy. Goniggy Muppet.
Excellent. Sounds pretty good.
I've actually forgot to say that I am actually featured in a new show coming out in Netflix. I think it's end of February, beginning of March.
Okay.
With Idris Elba.
Oh, nice.
called Turn Up Charlie. So tune in, everybody, for that.
Brilliant.
So, I'm in that.
Fantastic. Now that'd be great. Another one to watch.
I can't believe I forgot to say that.
It's only Idris Elba, one of the biggest names at the moment in the UK.
Yeah, I know. It's quite weird, really, knowing that I've actually sat there and had a conversation with that guy. What I mean? He's a lovely, lovely guy. So humble.
Mm.
So, yeah. It's brilliant. That'll be at the end of February, beginning of March on Netflix.
fantastic. Everyone will keep an eye out for that. Is there anything you saved yourself from my impressions as well, by the way, which is cracking. You've diverted away now, so you've saved yourself. I could have serenaded you as Kermit. I know. Why are there so many songs about rainbows?
Oh, right, I was thinking. That's brilliant.
It's like, it. Piggy, need them on stage, Piggy.
That is brilliant.
There you go. Said on safety.
You could be the stand-in. You could be the stand-in for his voice.
I could do, yeah.
The other one's got like a cold or something.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's all I can do. I'll be coughing for half an hour now. That's pretty much all I can do. It's like Donald Duck. Donald Duck says, "My father."
That's oh, can't it makes me cough when I do that.
Yeah, it does. Does.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. So, is anything? Oh, before I stop recording, is there anything you'd like to say to people who are watching and listening this to this?
But always follow your dreams because they won't follow you. Work hard. Just work hard, and then you'll see results. That's all I have to say. You know. Excellent. Yeah. As I say, and you do it positively. You know, with a positive mind. Don't procrastinate either. You know, just if you've got a goal. Go and chase it, stay focused.
Fantastic. So,
yeah, that's all I've got to say.
Thank you.